the mid-1970s, disco and punk were battling for the ears of American listeners tired of commercial rock music. A band with a different sound was forming at the Rhode Island School of Design. The group eventually moved to New York and became Talking Heads. If critics had been expecting another punk band, they were in for a surprise. The group dressed neatly and played at a modest volume. Their music incorporated rock, funk, and world beat. David Byrne was the lead singer, the guitarist, main writer. He says Talking Heads didn't have any of the visual trappings of the punk scene.
But I think we shared the idea that a lot of the music around us wasn't speaking to us, and we had to make something simple that did speak to ourselves and our friends. And if that meant you could do it with three chords or with your limited abilities that you had, that you didn't have to be a virtuoso to do that. You could find a way to use what tools you had at hand.
And that's it. You were a breakthrough. You were very different. I wonder musically if you made a conscious effort to be different or whether you just naturally were different.
I think sometimes we were certainly aware of it, and other times we just really couldn't help it. I think it was on our second record we did a cover of an Al Green song, and we'd done a different Al Green song previously. And as much as I would have loved to be able to sing like Al Green, and as much as I would have loved it if the band sounded like Al Green's band, we didn't. And as much as we tried to, we just could never, we ended up with something quite different. It wasn't always intentional.
Take Me to the River.
Yeah, which was successful for us, but of course, in some ways, it was successful maybe because our aim was so wide of the mark.
I think not. What you had there was some fabulous, danceable music, and yet something much, much more, asking us to think, and then you would creep over to the dark side sometimes, and that was interesting too. You probably watched people dancing to Psycho Killer, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, sometimes we'd see people dancing. It was kind of sometimes just amazing just to see people dancing to some of the music we were playing.
I can't seem to face up to the facts. I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax. I can't sleep cause my bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer.
But at the same time, we were very much kind of a groove band. We were very much about music that people could dance to, which at the time was kind of unusual. A lot of the music took the form of a scream or a howl, and we were kind of making things that were actually danceable, which was, unusual at the time for a rock band.
I wonder how many bands are as successful as Talking Heads was that wasn't focused on hit singles.
Oh, I think it happened from time to time, and it still does. Now I think there's maybe a little bit more self-awareness from musicians about the marketing efforts that go into promoting music and all of that. Not that we weren't aware of it, but we felt that it was possible to work within a kind of pop song format and kind of do whatever you wanted as long as you stayed within that format. And having a love of pop music, we felt that occasionally something we did, kind of by accident, would connect to a larger public, and other things would not. And it kind of worked out that way, which gave us a kind of longevity, but it meant that we couldn't make consistent hits. I don't think we could have if we tried, but it meant that every once in a while we'd have a song that the public seemed to connect with.
Burning Down the House.
Yeah, that was one that it started getting popular while we were on tour, so I could tell from the reaction of the audience that they'd been hearing it on the radio.
Last year, Talking Heads, which also included drummer Chris Franz, bassist Tina Weymouth, and keyboardist Jerry Harrison, was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Burns says it was gratifying.
I guess it meant that to a certain part of the music industry, we have some meaning and relevance. Yeah, that we have some, demand some respect from them and all that kind of thing, so, which is pretty nice. It often seems like a little bit of chance, a little bit of fate, a little bit of, you know, although I would hope that it's deserved, you know, that there's other people that, out there who've done incredible work and are maybe equally as deserving of the honors, and they don't get it because of the way the cards fell.
Thank you for this, and congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks.
Singer, composer, and guitarist David Byrne. Once in a Lifetime, the box set from Talking Heads, is released today by Warner Archives. A longer portion of the interview, more music, and a video are at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Balt Edwards.